the promise I will not forget thee. Nothing can molest or turn my soul away. Even though the night be dark within the valley, just beyond is shining an eternal day. I will not forget thee or leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I am thy Redeemer, I will care for thee. Trusting the promise, I will not forget thee. Onward will I go with songs of joy and love. Though earth despise me, though my friends forsake me, I shall be remembered in my home above. Oh, I will not forget thee or leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I am thy Redeemer, I will care for thee. When at the golden portals I am standing, all my tribulations, all my sorrows pass, how sweet to hear the blessed proclamation, enter, faithful servant, welcome home at last. I will not forget thee or leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I am thy Redeemer, I will care for thee.
Good to see this number out this morning. We appreciate so much some visiting with us and encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning with me to the book of Job in the 25th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. If you're here and you've never been baptized into Christ, in a few moments we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Simpkin has suggested. And if you would come forward and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, upon your confession, we would immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins. In the book of Job, in the 25th chapter, I want to read with you verse 4. How then can a man be righteous before God, or how can he be pure who is born of woman? When you take note and study the Bible, you'll find many Old Testament questions answered by New Testament men. You'll find in the book of Isaiah and the 53rd chapter, Isaiah prophesying about the coming of the Christ. And you'll find in Acts chapter 8 where Philip explains to the Ethiopian treasureman that this was a prophecy of the Son of the living God. That Isaiah, many years before Jesus came, prophesied that he would be the Redeemer, that he would carry our sorrows, and that by his stripes we would be healed. And there are many wonderful lessons you'll find even in the book of Job for the people of our day. And in order for us to get the lessons, we must study this outstanding book. And we could study the suffering of the man, Job, and see what he endured in life. And we could look at some of the philosophy of the men of that day who did not trust in God's word, but had their own wisdom with which they wanted to impart, and the advice that they wanted to give Job. However, at this time, I want us to observe three great questions raised by Job that are clearly answered by Jesus. Three questions by Job answered by Christ. And the first question is the one we find in the book of Job and the 25th chapter in verse 4 when he says, "How then can a man be righteous before God?" Or as the King James said, how can a man be justified before God? And that's a very important question. And that was a question that was raised by Bildad. How can a man be right with God? How can he be righteous? How can he be justified? Job had been accused of sin, bringing upon his troubles by Bildad and the others. And they said, Job, the reason you suffer is you're a sinner. And God is punishing you, and it's because you've lived an unrighteous life. And Job is defending his cause, saying, I know of nothing against me. And I've repented of my past sin. I do not know why this had fallen upon me. And Bildad says, you've rebelled against God. Job openly denies he rebels against God. So Bildad says, how can you be justified with God? In other words, who can argue your case? Are you pure enough to do so? And to be justified would, of course, mean to have pardon and complete forgiveness of sin. Now, for just a moment, let us look at the question for us. This question that was raised thousands of years ago by this man Bildad is one that faces each of us in our days upon the earth. How can a man be made righteous? How can a man be justified? And this is what you would call a very serious question. Is it possible for a sinner to be cleansed? You remember what Paul wrote in the Roman letter and the third chapter in verse 23 when he said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So is it possible for an individual who's been guilty of sin to be justified and to be purified and to be made righteous? Now let that question stay in your mind, and we'll come back to it in a moment. But then if you have your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Job and the 14th chapter. And when you come to the book of Job and the 14th chapter, look, if you will, at verse 10. In verse 10, notice there's another question that is raised, and this time it's a very important question raised by Job. In Job 14, in verse 10, it said, but man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last, and where is he? Look at the question, man dies, and where is he? Now think about that question as it comes from the lips of Job. Man dies and he is laid, and where is man? When man gives up the spirit, when man gives up the ghost, as we often say, where is he? And I'm sure they were familiar with death. They were concerned just what would happen to man after death. Now, for us in our day and time, again, I pause to let this question go over in our mind. Man dies today, just as in that day, and the same thought comes to the mind of most, where is he? And this question should be of much concern to each of us. What happens to man at death? Man dies, and where is he? But drop down and look at the third question that you'll find that is asked in the book of Job. We've seen Bildad's question of how can a man be justified? We've seen Job's question of, if a man dies, where is he? But look in verse 14 and notice a third question that is asked. In verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? What a question that is asked by that man identified as Job. Job raises the question that men have heard through the years. If a man dies, shall he live again? This really fits into the question we asked just a moment ago. Where is he? It implies that man longs for some kind of life beyond the grave. That man does not want to be satisfied with thinking that his body will just decay and that's it. That there is nothing else after this life. That is all there is what we have before us now. But man wants to know, is there something beyond the grave? And so for us, surely we all can see this great question, that shall a man live again? But that brings us to Christ giving the answers. And here the simple words is Jesus as he gives the answers to these great questions. To the question Job asked, How can a man be justified? Look at what Jesus had to say. And open your Bible so you'll see that Jesus said it and not Michael Richardson. But in your Bible, in the book of Matthew and the 12th chapter, when the question is asked, shall man be justified or how can man be justified? Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 12, 37. For by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. I want us to understand, my friend, this may not suit the fancy of men, for they like to devise their own way to be justified. But the only way to be justified is by the words of Jesus Christ. Is to go by the book, to go by the revealed Word of God, to go by the inspired Scripture of God. That man cannot devise his own way, man cannot make up his own plan of salvation, but that God has revealed how a man can be justified. And the only way to be justified is by the words of Jesus. Not by the words of your parents, not by the words of some wise man, but by the words of Jesus. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and notice that when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he wanted them to understand that salvation is through Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, he said that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So this morning when I study the Bible, the Word of God, I recognize that the Word of God has the power to reveal to me what I need to do to be righteous before God, to be justified by God. And it is through the Word of Jesus, not through the wisdom of men. Nor is it through the words of Moses. A lot of people want to go back to the Old Testament and be justified through the word of Moses. But in Acts 13 and verse 39, it says, and by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law of Moses does not justify you today. The law of Moses cannot take away your sin. But in the book of Acts, it says that everyone who believes in Christ is justified from all the things that the law of Moses could not justify them at all. So I recognize that one is not justified by the words of their parents. They're not justified by the wisdom of men, nor are they justified by the law of Christ. But man is justified or made righteous by the word of Christ. You remember that Jesus said in the book of John in the 8th chapter and about verse 24 that unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. I must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And thus Jesus said, you must believe that I am the Christ. Then if you take your Bible, you can look in the book of Acts in the 17th chapter. And you remember in the book of Acts in the 17th chapter that at that time Paul is speaking. And Paul said that man everywhere is commanded to repent. That man must repent of his sin. That man must come to God with a sorrowful heart, sorry for the wrong that he did, and be willing to repent of his sins and make his life right. Change his way, no longer living contrary to God, but living in a righteous manner before God. Then in the Roman letter and the 10th chapter in verse 9, it said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. One must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Confession means that I am willing to not only verbally state I believe He's the Son of God, but I live that out in my life. It's not a one-time confession. I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God daily by the life that I live. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Mark and the 16th chapter, in verse 16, you'll remember that Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. One must be baptized into Christ. One must have their sins blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Someone might shout out and cry, well, what about grace? Well, look in the Roman letter and the fifth chapter. In Romans chapter 5 in verses 1 and 2, therefore, having been, watch it, justified, underscore that word, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Grace, my friend, is what God gives us. Grace is not earned. Grace is not deserved. Grace is God's unmerited favor. And God is willing to forgive man when man is washed in the blood of His Son. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias looked at Saul and he said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What are you doing? You are receiving the grace of God. Then in 1 John 1, 7, I continue to walk in the light. I live my life in the light of God's Word. I live my life in such a way that gives glory to the Father. And my friend, this is the only way that a man can be justified in our day, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible for just a moment and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, after Paul had given the list of things that one will not inherit the kingdom of God over, look at what he says in verse 11. He said, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. Look at that word. That's the question. Can a man be justified? And Paul says, yes, he can. He can be justified. He can become righteous. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And look at verse 12. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He said, I can be justified by the grace of God and obedience to His Word. But that brings up the second question. The question that Job asked, if a man dies, where is he? And the Lord gives an answer to this man in language that none can misunderstand. Man is not nowhere, but notice where he says in your Bible in the book of John in the fifth chapter. Notice that where the body is. In John chapter 5, we find clearly that the body's gone back to the grave. In John 5, look if you will at verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, when the man dies, what happens to his soul? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 tells us that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it tells us that the body goes back to the dust. But then it says the spirit returns to God who gave it. The spirit is either in paradise or torment. But there's coming a day when the body and soul will be reunited and there will be a judgment day. When man dies, he is somewhere, his soul is placed somewhere by God. The body goes back to the grave, but when he comes again, a new body will be raised. And that brings up the last question. When Job said, will he live again? Think of that question. What if it said no? But that's not what the Lord said. He said, yes, man will live again. The wicked will be in hell for all eternity. They will spend eternity separated from God. They will spend eternity in a place of destruction, feeling the pains of death for all eternity. But the righteous will spend eternity with God in heaven. And this is the thing that keeps us going, the hope of heaven. Eternal life. Jesus talks about eternal life time and time again. Sometimes just take your Bible in the book of John and look at how many times he mentions eternal life. You can start in chapter 3 and he mentions it to Nicodemus. And you'll find he says it in verse 35 again. 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Just go through the book of John and see how he talks about everlasting life in contrast to eternal everlasting death, where you're in hell. It's eternity, you're separated from God. And Jesus says, you will spend eternity somewhere. Job asked three great questions. Well, Bildad asked one and Job asked two. And notice the questions in the book of Job, Jesus answers. Do you realize this morning you can be justified? I don't care what sin you've committed. I don't care how far you've fallen. I don't care what you've done in your past. You can be made righteous by the blood of Christ. Do you recognize that, my friend, when you die, you're going to go somewhere? And your soul will be placed somewhere? But then there will come a day of the great judgment. Will you live again? Yes, you will. Somewhere you'll spend eternity. And Jesus has said, I've provided a way where you can have eternal life with me if you're justified by my grace. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, our prayer is you'll do so this morning.